Type it away fear, so you're getting ready for the show. Mountain West Connection podcast is back.
Hoosha!
Chris Andres there. Jeremy Moss. Matt Kennerly is hanging out somewhere as well. You with us?
Yes, I am.
Good to know. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. Mountain West Connection on Facebook. We're getting close to, wonder if we can get to 3,000 followers by the end of the summer. That'd be nice. We're about 2,600.
I think we could do it.
So,
especially if we get Wichita State and Mountain West.
Maybe we should do those Facebook Live videos or something. Those seem popular.
Do they?
I did one for 5 minutes and did reasonably well about the NFL draft a couple weeks ago.
All right.
But we'll see. But yeah, we got that. Mountain West Connect, or excuse me, MWC Connects on Twitter. And before we start the show, here's what we're doing. We're going to wrap up any Big 12 talk because this is probably the last of it about Colorado State or any school, since they said they're not doing anything until end of the year possibly to even vote on an expansion. So for those who like this stuff, it might be going on until 2020 before, if they decide to expand, we'll have a team in another conference.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Yes.
But before that, real quick, here's what we're doing. We're doing this show today. Then we're starting our season previews next week. We will do one show a week through the summer and see how that takes us. And we're not going to go alphabetical. We're going to go by some sort of ranking system that we have not decided yet, have we?
We're circling around a couple of ideas.
So let's just say this. It will not be Air Force next week. It'll be some sort of worst to first, maybe divisional. So here's the teams that it could be.
Idaho. Wait. No.
Hawaii is in consideration.
No.
Wyoming's in consideration. And
so I don't suppose we can get Robert Kekaula, because since the last time we tried that, it failed miserably, right?
Oh,
Can you do an imitation of Robert Kekaula and fake people?
We can always do an imitation of Robert Kekaula, but it's just not going to be as fun and cheeky and, you know, good.
I will reach out and see what we can do, because last time it was a complete mess and I was ticked and I apologized profusely. And
I think he was ticked.
To waste his time. Yes, exactly. Yeah. We'll see. We'll figure it out. But so maybe we'll not be Hawaii, but it'll be one of the teams that did not fare as well. UNLV, perhaps. Here's the hint. It's either going to be Wyoming or a Western Division team, not San Diego State. So let's get going. Let's get to it. Let's no more quarterbacks, so we'll see. Let's get to this. We're going to talk about, like I said, Colorado State. Last time me and Matt recorded, we did the Wichita State experiment, and that was reasonably well received. So here's what we're doing for this show. We're going to talk about Colorado State, UCF, Memphis, I guess BYU, teams like that. So if you haven't read this article, we'll do the rankings at the end of the show. We'll talk about some rankings. But last week, ESPN came out with they did their good old research, reporting thing that we don't do, journalism stuff, right? They spent money to request information, and let's start with you, Chris, because we recorded for a few minutes last night. Actually, let's do this. Let's go to a roundtable really quick. If they're gonna, let's just say they're gonna expand, it won't happen for a while. Chris, who are your two teams that they should go to the Big 12?
Memphis and Houston.
That's fine. No, that's okay. No. Yes. Give us your presentation.
Oh, yes. Okay. So first of all, so the Big 12 has been recently flirting with teams, as that one email was kind of released by W. Gordon G., who is the president of West Virginia. And he basically let it slip that Memphis and Houston were their top two candidates. Houston because they've been really successful as of late, and Memphis because, hey, look, there's a possible huge, really, really big sponsorship behind it. And also Memphis has been quite good in football as of late and rising in their other sports. I mean, it wasn't that long ago where Memphis was an perennial NCAA contender for the basketball.
Okay. Who are your two teams, Matt?
Okay. So I know Chris is thinking the Big 12 should go east, And I think I've kind of maintained all along that if I were running things, I would expand to the West, and I would go with BYU, and I'd go with Boise. Ooh, and, Boise. You know, a lot of that, I think, has to do with the fact that, I mean, obviously, you know, we make fun of BYU quite a bit now that they're not a part of the conference anymore. But you can't really argue that they've, you know, they've acquitted themselves pretty well since they've moved to independence. And I think that, you know, if college football is the thing that puts eyeballs, you know, on television screens, drives revenue and all that kind of stuff, you know, both of those teams are teams that have, you know, a history of really, like, they have like high bars of success. And so, you know, not thinking about market size or anything else like that, which is what we're going to get to, I'm assuming, at some point. Like, if it were me, if you're looking for the best teams, the teams that are going to drive revenue, those, I think, are the two obvious choices.
Oh, we could retort later, but
yeah, exactly. Chris, I'm going to retort the crap out of your two schools, but it's okay. It also depends. There's so many variables, so it's hard to say team, because if you listen to who was it, Stuart Mandel and Bruce Feldman on their podcast, if there was two perfect teams or four perfect teams, there wouldn't be this argument everybody's having about a top 10 list or Aztec fans clamoring that they deserve to get in, which, by the way, sorry, you don't. Do whatever. You're not going to get in. Sorry. But my two teams, before I back up, if they get a TV network, hey, do either? It depends if you have like DirecTV, Dish Network, Comcast, which, as we know, people have less and less of that. And so if they want a network, they're going to expand. If they expand that way, you want an area. And we know our good friend, Daniel Connolly, UConn. Do we give the thumbs down to UConn again? Should we do that today?
You guys can't see me right now, but I'm doing the whole Roman gladiator thumbs down.
Yeah, sorry, with apologies to Daniel, I don't think they're a very strong candidate.
They're only a strong
neither is, and I know there was an article written about it today on Bring in the Cats, with the question answer and then the response. Neither is South Florida, by the way.
We'll get to those guys as well. But my two teams, if it depends, because I go on this line a little bit. If they want a TV deal, a TV network, if that's even possible, which it probably is not, because the ACC is 3 years in the making with ESPN, and they still have nothing in place for a TV network. So if they go that route, I would probably go with like Cincinnati or BYU, because you get Utah markets, pretty good size. There's other fan bases around. They're good at football. Stadium's third biggest in the conference. Cincinnati, Ohio's pretty big, right? Is that good enough reason? Apparently, Ohio's a big state election, so it should be good for football for people there, right? There's a lot of people in the states.
The only thing about Cincinnati, though, is that, you know, if you're looking at other teams that are more well-positioned to be in consideration, Cincinnati's the team that kind of has the aging facility that might not fit well for them.
And they can't expand their stadium also, really.
Yeah, and that was something, I don't know if people out there have listened to Bill Connolly's and Stephen Godfrey's podcast, Ain't Played Nobody.
Ain't Played Nobody.
But they talked about Cincinnati in that regard because of the fact that, you know, they're starting to do deals for their bigger games, you know, because they want to actually, you know, they want to max out revenue and stuff like that, so that they're moving them to Paul Brown Stadium.
Yeah, I think I listened to that one just the other day.
And so, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself talking about Colorado State, but I know that they were thinking about doing the similar kind of thing. But I think that's the kind of problem you run into with a team like Cincinnati is, like, are they going to get their home games that they want?
Yeah, if you play Texas, you go to Cincinnati, but fans have to drive. And do the Bengals want that? You don't have a home field advantage. There might be more fans from the other school coming there.
Here's my take. Here's my take with Cincinnati. Cincinnati to the Big 12 would be like how the Mountain West added San Jose State to the Mountain West. It's like, yeah, there's potential there, but, I mean, there's really – you have some good seasons, you have some bad seasons, but overall it's meh. It'd be a meh add. And really the only serious benefit that you would get from adding Cincinnati to the Big 12 is that West Virginia would have a very easy travel partner.
Well, there's another reason as well, which that, see, the Big 12, I say, like, screw West Virginia, who cares? You made a dumb choice, find better choices to come in. Another reason for Cincinnati is that it's all about recruiting. Cincinnati is probably, it's an underrated place. It has so much talent there. Yeah, you'd be going against Ohio State and a lot of the Big Ten, but if you're in Texas, and not that they need to go out of state, but if you're in West Virginia or if you're whatever school may be, if it ends up being BYU or Colorado State or Kansas State or whoever, you can play near home once a year. You can visit all, you know what I mean? It's a thing. Come to our school. You're in our conference. You can play once a year at home or something like that, or near home. So that's a big draw as well. But my actually two ideal things that do make the most sense, if it's a TV deal, take BYU and Colorado State. Because if you have a TV deal, it's the reason Rutgers is in the Big Ten.
Why not Houston? Why not take Houston?
Because the Big 12 already owns Houston. Houston does nothing for the Big 12 to get them more money, and it becomes more centric like the Southwest Conference.
I actually did make that argument and Bring on the Cats, but yeah, absolutely.
But my point is, I grew up during this in Houston when the Southwest Conference blew up. It's because it's all Texas. Texas Tech, TCU, Houston, Baylor, Rice, A&M, all those schools were there. And being there, yeah, SEC country is coming a little bit with Texas A&M, but the Big 12 has Houston because there's so many alumni from mostly University of Texas, some Oklahoma, Texas Tech, because they go out there and come back. It's already there. It's not like New York City where, say, if you had the Big Ten Network 10 years ago or 8 years ago, whenever, before Rutgers got in, it was on, say, a higher tier. You bring in Rutgers, it drops down two tiers. Millions of more people are paying for it than weren't before, even if they're watching or not. In Houston, if there's a Big 12 Network, it'll be on the lowest tier, on the same tier as it is in Austin, as in Norman and Baylor. That's the reason why, if it's TV network wise, that's the reason it's a no to Houston. They don't bring any more money and there's more competition. Oklahoma doesn't want Houston and the Big 12 to get recruiting because Oklahoma, Oklahoma State go to Houston all the time to get kids. If Houston's in the Big 12, you keep Tom Herman, they become what TCU is, probably faster, and they could easily be the best team in the conference within like 6 years. Wait. And going for national titles.
We're talking about who here? Big 12.
University of Houston.
Oh, okay.
If they do get to the Big 12, they could be a national title contender within 5 years.
I can see it. Now I'm gonna retort to Matt. Okay.
Okay.
Matt?
I'm sorry, and this is putting my alma mater on the line here.
Uh oh.
Guys, Boise State's not ready for the Big 12. It doesn't matter what they say, doesn't matter what they think or what the administration thinks or whatnot, and definitely not what the fans think. Boise State is very, very competitive in the Mountain West, and I hate to say they're struggling to stay on top because they're not struggling to stay on top, but they're not dominating like they were in the WAC.
Yeah, but the WAC was weaker.
You can make that argument, but half the WAC is in the Mountain West now.
Yeah, but they're all getting more money too, so.
I'm just saying, my alma mater here is not ready to make that huge step, and they need to make a few more. They need to add to their academics just a little bit more before they have that step. I would say that if the Big 12 decides to expand in the next, I'd say 10 years after they've expanded once, then I'll say, then Boise State is ready. But then that brings on a new problem, is where does that leave them out west? Because then they might come poaching west.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree. It's just, you know, when you start considering all of the other much more cynical money-making angles, then you know, I can totally understand why Boise State is less than a perfect candidate. Like the way that I see it, you know, not only as a Fresno State fan, as a Mountain West observer, like to me, you know, Boise State's been kind of the preeminent Group of Five program for like the last decade. And, you know, between them and like you guys were talking about Cincinnati, I feel like, you know, those are the two teams that probably deserved better than they got in the realignment shuffle over the last few years. But I mean, if we're talking about TV markets and stuff like that, I know that that was something that Connolly and Godfrey talked a lot about as well. Because, you know, Denver, out of all of these potential schools we're talking about, is by far the biggest TV market. So, you know, then the question becomes, like, do people in the Denver market actually watch college football if they don't have an immediately vested interest?
Yeah, but it's like the New York City Rutgers. It doesn't matter. If your network's on a lower tier, who cares? You could have a 0.0 rating, but if a million people are paying for your network compared to 250,000, who cares? You're making the money.
Yeah, and that's real cynical, and I totally understand that. but that's how, and I think I may have said this when we started recording yesterday before we aborted the mission. You know, CSU to the Big 12 strikes me as a kind of Rutgers or Maryland move where the team doesn't necessarily have to be good for it to be validated.
No, that's definitely a concern. Not concern, but that's a valid point. That is the only reason. I would say, so I think they said in that same show, is that here's, let me give you an example. I grew up in Texas, and back in the high school, like the late 90s, and yeah, I'm LDS, so I look at BYU a little bit more than some people do just because. But when I'm watching college football back then, I would always tune in, oh, Boise State's playing. I'll watch them for 10 minutes. BYU's playing. I'll watch them for 20 minutes. If you want the biggest brand, the two biggest brands are Boise and BYU. And probably, I could easily argue Boise State's a bigger brand for people to watch for the most part, right there with BYU. If you want the biggest brand, people tune in to watch Boise State whenever they're playing, at least for a couple minutes. So while they're small, Boise's small, more people tune in for 10 minutes, 20 minutes to watch them play rather than, even if we go back to Rutgers, Rutgers versus whoever. Unless Rutgers is playing Michigan or Ohio State or Penn State, nobody really cares. But if you go by brand and what people want, those two really make the best choice. And one other thing, it's like, oh, they need an Eastern partner. No, they don't, because if you had two teams that are that close on the West Coast, yeah, it's a far trip, but they're going to add a Western team anyways. Let's just say BYU's in regardless, and then they add whoever comes in. If West Virginia goes out to – they're already going out to BYU anyways. That's better than going, say, basketball. You play Thursday, Saturday. You go out to BYU for Thursday. If there's no other Western team, you're going to Lubbock for another game. You're going to Kansas State or Ames, Iowa for game two. If you have BYU, Colorado State, BYU, Boise, you're, you know what I mean? You're right there. It's actually a closer trip if you think about it.
All right. So let's go ahead and get back, bring this full circle. So has anybody's minds changed about who they're at?
It depends what the scenario is. That's the problem.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, what are we considering? Do we want to go through it in terms of like the different like factors that the Big 12 is going to be looking at? Like, because if we're talking about market, like what are the two best options? It's CSU and it's probably what? Cincinnati is the biggest market?
I'd say BYU. But Utah is.
Yeah, if we're just talking strictly TV markets, what are the two best?
Actually, and you're looking at Tampa Bay, South Florida.
Actually, depends where you look. Denver and Tampa are about the same as Orlando. I think they're all within like the 18 to 20 range.
But say for instance that the Big 12's adamant about getting that Eastern partner, then you look to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, so that's, yeah.
Okay, so then I'm kind of stealing this from Matt Stevens and Kelly Lyle from the Colorado. And what about academics? Like, strict speaking,
doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
No, here's why. The Big 12 doesn't have a unified academic base as it is. If they were like the Big 10, or at least half the schools were AAU or land grant or something, there could be something for said. But every team in the Big 12 almost is, the academics are, there's no common thread out of majority of the schools to have that really be an impact.
Yeah, he's right. You go from SMU and TCU, which are private Christian schools and limited to what they offer, to giant land grant universities, tops in the nations like Texas and Oklahoma.
That's true. Yeah, and I think they mentioned that in their article that CSU is another one of those land grant schools, right?
CSU is a land grant.
Okay, so then I think we've kind of talked about geography. I think we're kind of split as to which way we think the Big 12 should move. Chris, you seem to be thinking that they should go east, and I think that this should go west.
I don't think they should go east. I think they will go east. There's a difference.
You think they? Yeah. Okay. So what do you think they should do?
I honestly, I think. Oh God, I hate saying this. Oh, this is gonna hurt.
You take my side on this?
I think they pick up BYU and Colorado State.
Yes, that makes sense.
Okay.
But see, here's the thing is BYU is such a pain in the ass to work with. And there's been noted instances of it. That's why the Big 12's hesitant.
Here's part of the reason I don't want to back them up, but there's a legitimate reason. There's a couple reasons. They were too big for themselves in 2010, but the stuff recently about San Diego State. Here's the thing. I'll make this as quick as possible. Back when the Mountain was coming around, there's change of ownership. They were promised to rebroadcast games on BYU TV. That was not in writing, never happened. And they tried to get it, which if Boise State had that, if San Diego State, if Fresno State had that verbal agreement, but it couldn't get it done, they'd be a pain as well trying to get that in their contract that was promised to them. So I can't blame BYU for pressing and pressing and wanting this promise that was in the contract, but never came. If any other school had that, they would act the exact same way. But there are other things as well. But if it's the TV thing people are referring to about rebroadcasting games, any team in the conference, any team in the nation who was promised that and didn't get it would throw a big stink and try to get it done. And people would think they're throwing a hissy fit over it.
I think it was more than just the TV deal. But I think the TV deal was the running fact because of it. But anyway, yes, continue.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the next thing on this list is stadium. Like home facilities.
Uh-oh.
What do we think of the two best options?
Well, I think they got a fancy brand new stadium.
Yes.
BYU's number one. They would come in with the third or fourth largest stadium right off the bat. 65,000, I want to say.
Yeah, but you also have UCF or USF, both of which have very good stadiums.
Yeah, I was just about to mention those as well, but yeah.
Well, and I think that's also a place where CSU helps itself because they are in the process of building that on-campus stadium. The problem is that you're basically taking the equivalent to Bulldog Stadium and equating it to, you know, other facilities throughout the Big 12. You know, because I think the article says it's going to seat 41,000 with
up to 45. Yeah.
Yeah, with only 36,000 seats, and for like a big time college football program, that is small. Like, I don't know where that would rank among the rest of the Power Five schools, but
that would be slightly less than TCU.
Really?
TCU holds 45,000. Kansas State holds 50,000. I know Baylor has a new stadium, so I don't know if this is accurate or not. I know they blew it up this past weekend, but 50,000.
But I mean, the flip side of that is I think you would have less of a problem selling out every time because, you know, you hear about other schools who play in these massive stadiums, like, you know, a team like UCLA, for example, just kind of a random example. But I remember reading something where, like, even though the Rose Bowl seats like 90 something thousand, if I remember correctly, their average attendance last year was only like 60,000 something.
Yeah, it was pretty good. 70,000 something, but it was not full capacity every week.
Yeah, so if you're bringing in big time programs like a Texas or an Oklahoma at least once a year, you're not going to run into a scarcity problem. Like, you're pretty much going to be selling that out almost every week.
Exactly. That's the thing too. You want to stay. Because, Chris, how big can Boise State Stadium be unless they basically redo
it? Right now, Boise State's max is 38,000. But see, there's also talk, and there's been talk, and there could be easily plans of closing one horseshoe and closing the other horseshoe eventually. If that were to happen, Boise State could potentially top out at 50,000.
Okay. Now, that makes it palatable. Works out
now,
quite well.
I don't think that would happen, though, because I think they want to make sure they get, you know, 100%, something like that, blah, 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 blah.
Well, it's a problem with them, what they did for the Washington game last year. What was it, where you have to buy season tickets to get to that game, and then not everybody's buying season tickets. And so they screw themselves what they want to present. Yeah, we have a 98% capacity in stadium, where it's less because they make you buy season tickets to get into that one big game only. Those type of things I think are stupid, and not that it matters, but it does matter who goes to your game, the amount of people.
Yeah, but and I think so the flip side of that is, like, if you take that same kind of, you know, ticket distribution model and you apply that into a bigger conference like the Big 12, you know, then you're not looking at one big game. You're looking at like four or five big games.
Well, that's what I mean. You don't have to say buy our great non-conference game to be able to see New Mexico and Wyoming. They wouldn't have to do that. I just think doing that's a dumb hurts the consumer who maybe they can't afford season tickets, but they want to go to one or two games. If they did buy Washington, you get to go to these three other games. That's fine. If it's includes a half season package or a couple more games, that's great. But saying you got to buy one to get them all, to get to the one, you have to buy it all. I thought that was kind of petty, but that's not really the subject we're going at here. So should we go to like on the field stuff? Because this is where I think Central Florida shouldn't be in the conversation right now.
No.
I know because they went 0-12 last year. They have a brand new head coach in Scott Frost who's running the same offense that Chip Kelly ran or Mike Bellotti ran in Oregon. He's never done his own offense or done anything. And he went to Nebraska. So we don't know. Odds are, well, if we did some research, he had spring, but we don't know what his real offensive identity is, how good that will be. I don't care if he has 60,000 students. There's Utah Valley right down the street from BYU. They're going to be the largest university in the state of Utah very shortly, passing University of Utah, Weber State, BYU, Utah State. They're not going to become some basketball juggernaut because they're the largest public school in the state. And alumni, I know there's alumni base and all that stuff, but I think UCF has to prove it to me for a while. Because you can't be terrible to get into a conference, in my opinion. You got to bring something besides I'm in a big city.
So you're kind of taking the Bill Connolly concept of the leap and applying it in a new direction, because he always uses it in terms of making the jump from FCS to the FBS. But you're talking about how you need to kind of time your success going from like a group of five to a power five conference, right?
Well, that's what Memphis is right now. They've been terrible except for the past couple of years. They don't have Justin Fuente anymore, a new head coach, but they've been awful for years. And you have to time it right because you can't be just terrible. Like Colorado State, they're good enough, I think. Like they mentioned as well with Jim McElwain, now Mike Bobo. They've been good enough. Not great, but they've been okay. Central Florida went 0-12. Come on.
See, and I mean, the counter argument to that is I think if you ignore the wins and losses from like the most recent past, you know, that was a team that was in the Fiesta Bowl like, what, 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah, didn't they beat Baylor, I think?
Yeah, they for a handful of years, they had an argument as like being the best Group of Five program out there. So, you know, last year was, you know, kind of an unusual circumstance. Which kind of leads me into my next point is like, you know, football is the driving force. But one of the other things that the Coloradoan mentions is all of the other sports. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I know that at least with regards to, you know, a BYU or a Colorado State, you know, those are programs that have like other well-regarded sports programs. Like Colorado State has their women's basketball team that's won three conference titles in a row, went to the tournament last year. You know, obviously BYU is very competitive in men's basketball, things like that.
They're actually just side note. This year, it's because my other job is BYU. They would fit right in. They're going to win the baseball title. They won the softball title, men's volleyball. Not that it matters, but it's amazing. Women's volleyball went to the NCAA tournament. So soccer, they would probably fit in the most if you look at just those other sports than any other team that's getting considered.
I was going to say, because like, if we're thinking about the other revenue driving sports, you know, that's a place where UConn jumps back into the fray, you know, because obviously, you know, their women's team might be killing the game, but you know, their men's team they won a national title within recent memory. And, you know, that's a team that's going to be a tournament entry pretty much year in and year out until further notice.
And not just that, just throw in the fact that UConn's other sports are decent decent at worst.
Yeah. And I think that's where, you know, some place like a Memphis or UConn has an advantage over a team like Central Florida or South Florida that don't have that same kind of history in those other sports or that same kind of success.
But again, that does not matter one bit, honestly.
Yeah.
We chat about a lot. Unfortunately, because I mentioned this on our last show with Matt, the thing with Andy Katz years ago when Kansas was going to join the Big East or maybe the Mountain West. He's like, what about Kansas basketball? They're a top five brand. And whoever it was said, like, it doesn't matter. Basketball brings nothing to realign.
All right, so go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, that was it. Go ahead.
So we are a Mountain West blog. We are obviously concerned about the Mountain West side of things. And being that we're concerned about the Mountain West side of things, let's try and refocus our efforts. Okay. So what would CSU realistically be to be an honest to goodness threat of leaving the Mountain West? And then I'll repeat the same question with Boise State.
I'll go really quick here. It's their new stadium, which is helpful, but it's just, again, the Denver market they're in. But you gotta give the dumb caveat for everything. It's if there's a Big 12 network. And let's assume that's the reason they're expanding. So I think that's a safe assumption. If they don't get a network, they're not going to expand. So if there's a network, Colorado State is probably the number one or number two choice to get in, and that's a threat just because of their location.
See, to me, my answer is mostly the same. There's a little bit of difference, though, because I think the benchmarks are different for both Boise and Colorado State. I think for Boise, the goal is to get back to another New Year's Six bowl within the next 3 years. You know, because, you know, for them, it's about what Chris was alluding to earlier, that kind of standard of excellence that they've fallen just short of, you know, and at least in the last couple of years. You know, they were in the Fiesta Bowl back in, what was it, 2012, 2013? When was that?
2014.
Yeah.
No, just 2 seasons.
Yeah, that was when they beat the Arizona, yeah. Right? So I think they need to reach that benchmark again at some point in the next 3 years. I think for Colorado State, you know, the stakes are a little bit bigger because I think for them, it's about winning a conference title in the next 3 years. You know, because, you know, they're coming into this new stadium, I believe, next season. And so there's going to have expectations on them to
2017,
you know, to play up to the new product. So that would be my answer.
Yeah. And
so what's your answer, Chris? What's your answer?
I think my answer is that I really don't think Boise State's going to be a viable option, although college football fans would love the potential of having a Boise State Oklahoma every single year just to show reruns of that Fiesta Bowl, as well as TCU, Boise State, TCU. Because the 4 years that TCU and Boise State have met up previously, they're 2-2, and they've always produced fantastic games, very split even results. I think Matt's right with CSU. I think CSU has to build more consistency in order to get a serious glance. But I'm going to throw in a name that the Big 12 hasn't said, and they're probably not on the monitor at all. But
can we guess?
Oh, absolutely,
can we guess?
You can guess, and I know you're going to guess on the first guess.
Oh, crap. They do. Oh, geez.
UNLV?
Not UNLV. Really?
Ooh, that's
really?
A good one.
UNLV?
Hey, you know what? If they build a new stadium for the Raiders, anything's possible.
You know what?
I was asked about this, and I said if the Raiders go to town, they shoot up the list quite a bit.
You know what? Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about that, Matt, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Emerging, their growth is pretty good in Las Vegas, still in Nevada. If you have a 70,000 seat NFL style stadium, which probably would be the best in college football because it's the newest, may not hold the most, but it would be number one in the country. The bowl would get better. You could have a Pac-12 title game there instead of
it's Jerry Jones sponsored. Verbally.
No, it's not that.
No,
nice.
It's verbally.
I'm saying college
Jerry
football.
Jerry Jones like basically threw his support behind.
Oh yes, yes, correct. Yeah. So who's your team? That UNLV? I don't know. I don't know who I was going to say.
San Diego State.
No, they're not.
No,
in.
I didn't say they were going to get it. So. But think of the consequences, right? Or think of the overall impact, right? You're taking a top five market TV market. Okay, it's a little bit further to fly, but you're talking about Southwest, which has a hub to any one of these cities. You're talking about a football team that has risen to prominence as of recent. A basketball team that has always been solid, and you throw them in the Big 12 basketball, you're going to have yearly matchups with Kansas as a conference game, not just as conference game, as well as these other schools. Okay, and the stickball programs are pretty good, albeit except for this year. I think San Diego State brings a level of competitiveness as well. Now, you throw that in with the package that San Diego State and Boise State brought to the Big East very briefly when they were in the Big East before they both returned back to the Mountain West. If the Big 12 wanted to package those two items again, I think that would be kind of a go.
See, I think Colorado State, rather, is in the situation that San Diego State wants to be in. Because I know that we had that article, it must have been like 2 or 3 weeks ago now, where there was that initial proposal for an on-campus stadium. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I think that's the big caveat, because I don't think you can put San Diego State into a Power 5 conference without a new facility.
Yeah, Qualcomm's a dump.
And Qualcomm will be demolished. Hopefully. We're still waiting on that over here.
But I think location, like me and Matt discussed last time, location still matters to a degree.
Location, absolutely, which is why Colorado State leads that caveat.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. San Diego to Morgantown, I know it's still cross-country, could fly fast, but still a 7-hour flight or something, 6-hour flight. Unless they go to 14 teams or something, Big 12, maybe, but the best chance is if the Pac-12 has to expand. They don't need that market, but that would be a quality team to bring in.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
I can't argue with it either. So that
victory is mine. Yes.
I wouldn't say it was victory. I would say that was a good argument to settle a long debate.
I'll take it. Do we have any other expansion we need to discuss? Any other random weirdness?
Okay, well, what about Bill C's crazy idea to add 14 teams to the Big 12?
that's what that is. That's crazy. Did you guys see also Stuart Mandel's thing today about let's not jump over Matt Singh. So would you want to see a 26 team conference or whatever it was, Matt?
First of all, it'd be 24. And it would I think he explained it as being like two tiers of 12, which would allow him to establish that kind of relegation model that we're all so fond of.
Yes.
But, you know, among the 14 teams he initially considered were, you know, Boise, BYU, and then Air Force. Mm-hmm. So
wasn't UNLV in there or not?
No. But let's start with
that. Must have been somebody.
Let's start with that trio. Like, if you were taking 12 teams or 14 teams, rather, would those three be among the 14 that you take?
No, I wouldn't take Air Force. What? I don't understand Air Force. I know why he took Air Force, because he took Navy, but that's kind of a weak argument to include Air Force.
Well, I think his argument with Air Force is not only that you're adding the service academies, because I think he had also added Navy in that initial group of 14. But, you know, you're kind of getting that to a similar kind of extent. You're still kind of getting the Denver market, aren't you?
Yeah, Colorado Springs is much closer to Denver than Fort Collins is.
Yeah.
It's about the halfway point, I believe.
Yeah. So, but what about Boise and BYU? Obviously, they're probably in, right?
Yeah, I think for sure. Because if you're adding that many teams, you want to have good teams in there. You don't want to bring in teams just because they're the market size, just because you're going to have every market with those teams. Well,
based off your argument tonight, Matt, it seems like Boise and BYU would be a lock even just if they added two teams.
Like I said, if it were up to me, that would be the direction I'd move in. Yeah. So then what about, like, because he had three teams that were kind of on the outside looking in of this initial proposal. So the next three teams that he mentioned from the Mountain West are Colorado State, Utah State, and San Diego State. So if it were up to you to add 14 teams, would those three be in your list?
You said
Colorado State, Utah State, in San Diego
State. I would not take Utah State.
Why not?
Have you been to Logan, Utah?
Well, I mean,
I have not been to Logan, Utah.
Yeah, I would say that's probably it. It'd probably be equivalent in terms of cities to Lawrence, Kansas. There's not much to do there. You don't have much of a TV market presence because you're still far away from Salt Lake City. You would only bring it in for the competitive aspect of it. And really, I mean, they've only been able to challenge for a title once. Their basketball hasn't been as good since they've moved over. There's nothing that quite completely appeals as a Power 5 team that appeals to Utah State quite yet.
Yeah, I suppose you got a point.
And their stadium, it did get renovated. Still not where it should be.
See, now, we've been doing a lot of talk about, like, a lot of whatever the Big 12 does is going to hinge on having a TV network of some kind. Mm-hmm. So one idea I want to throw out there, and I just want to see if you guys have any thoughts on it, is have you heard about how Hulu wants to make this move into streaming live television next year?
Good point.
How do you think something like that? We had a conversation
on Underdog Dynasty's Slack about this.
Oh, really? So then enlighten us on your point of view, because like what is keeping Hulu from reaching out to the Big 12 and giving them an online distribution platform for their college football?
Well, games? I think Hulu doesn't know how to do sports yet, and I'm not sure if they've signed on announcers or if they can't sign on announcers to try and, you know, take that next step.
But isn't this Hulu live streaming? I've read up on it because I've been thinking about if I should write something or not about it. Isn't it just doing like what Sling TV is doing or PlayStation View, where it's taking just a handful of packages, networks, or are they actually wanting to do live original programming themselves?
Well, I mean, I don't know if they do live original pro. I mean, they have original programming.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, like live, like they say live. Do they mean live in a sense where I can put on Sling TV and watch ESPN on my Sling TV through my Chromecast? That's what I mean. Like, are they doing that, or they want to do original, like get into news or something along those lines? Because that's where I'm reading through. It's not too clear from what I can tell. It's like get a small bundle like PlayStation View or Sling TV. Okay, but none of those have their own, you know what I mean? Like, are they going to produce this content, I mean?
Okay, so I had to brush up on this because I just remembered seeing the headline. So what according to this article from The Verge, what it's saying is that, you know, they want to offer subscribers the ability to stream live programming from broadcast and cable brands without having a traditional TV subscription in order to watch that includes live sports, news, and events.
Well, that's just like Sling TV. That means you can live stream ESPN.
Yeah, and ESPN is one of the networks that's listed among this group of five networks. There's Fox, there's ABC, there's ESPN, FX, and then the Disney Channel.
But that's the thing. They're not that. To me, that means they're not doing their own. They just want to get into the game where instead of charging $8 a month for Hulu now, they can do it what Sling TV is doing, $20 a month for channels A through Z.
But like if they did like an exclusive thing where they charge like an extra $5 a month for subscribers that wanted to watch Big 12 football, like would that be a service that makes sense?
It could. I think it could, because if this gets back to we'll get back around to this. But if you read this really quick, Stuart Mandel just screwing around. It's what Clay Travis said a couple years ago. Just have one giant TV package for every conference, every team. But you kind of realign it a little bit so it has this many teams. Mandel's thing was 24 teams, and it funnels into playoff. And he brought, like, he compared the price to like the NFL Sunday Ticket, which just kind of would be. He was saying if 11 million people subscribe to this package that costs, I think, $250 a year or season, each school would get like $120 million or $115 million per year. I think that's kind of what you're getting at. Would you pay like $100 a year for Big 12 football?
Yeah, because I mean, I know that they're kind of doing something similar with other like premium channels. Like, I believe Showtime has an agreement with them where you could pay like $9 a month to be able to access Showtime shows?
Correct. Yeah, I looked into that stuff because you can get the, you can get Showtime on Hulu, you can get Showtime on Amazon Prime, you can get HBO Now. There's a way where the technology is good enough to stream directly with like Chromecast support or whatever, Apple TV, Roku. It's good enough now. It's not. Thing is, I haven't done that live. That's the thing. Live is a bit different. I've used the Showtime Live app before. It works pretty good. But I don't want pretty good. Because remember the Super Bowl? I know it's a big deal on CBS. Their app just kept crashing to stream on the, through the CBS Sports app.
That's a good point.
But it's a smaller scale, though. You know what I mean? If you have 3 million people watching Texas, Oklahoma, that's easier than 100. I don't know what streaming numbers were, but 20 million to stream. You know what I mean? Super Bowl or something worldwide.
Yeah.
Or we could always go to Twitter. They're streaming at Thursday Night Football for free.
I totally forgot about that.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, Chris? Go with that.
We'll be tweeting games live.
I'm curious how that will work because if that, because this serious question, if that works and it's not charging people, why won't that work for some sort of integration of some sort? I don't know how much money they'll get, but that's something that could, why not? Because I don't know. Do you, Chris, do you think Hulu, you talked about the guys in your other Slack chat. Do you think if like Hulu or Netflix or Yahoo streamed the NFL game last year in London, Twitter, would that give enough money to make some incentive to, because if the Big 12 can't get an over-the-top network through, say, an ESPN Big 12 network, what would stop them from doing like what Campus Insiders is doing? They have enough money and people just pay. It might be for not the best games, like it might be third tier right games, but would you pay like $15 a month for the football season, $100 a month to watch these games? Say you get what, 8 games a month or something? I think 2 a week would probably be on the third tier. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
You have 2 games a week, $100. I don't know, would that be feasible? Because you could bring in money and it's probably a lot cheaper than having a full on television studio and everything and distribution. It sucks because people have to opt into it. It's not just on your package and like your mom who doesn't care about sports is paying for it, but she's watching USA or TBS all day. That's the only issue. You don't have that built-in clueless base paying for something they never use.
Yeah, so I don't I mean, this is one of those things that when we were talking about it, we were really joking more or less the side effects of it. But this could be something where, yeah, if the Big 12 network, quote unquote, doesn't get a sponsorship or deal with one of the major networks, it might turn to Hulu or Netflix. And what would happen is, I think doing that would be, and this comes back to the Mountain West, would be very, very bold and a very innovative step to like what the Mountain West did with the Mountain. Remember, the Mountain was the first college football network or college sports network, rather.
And it didn't work so well,
but that was besides some quirks that they had. But as a result, all these different conference networks grew out of that and grew out of the learned failures of the Mountain. And so I think what the Big 12 would be doing is if they took that unprecedented step to something like a Netflix or Hulu or like a streaming style of broadcasting, you know, I think they're going to be the ones to work out the kinks. And I don't think they're going to be successful at it in the first run. But if you know, if somebody else, say like the Conference USA or Sunbelt, who tried to get more attention, were to take that first step initially, and the Big 12 were to follow up with that, I definitely think that I would see the Big 12 would capitalize on that.
That's what Conference USA should do, though, because their TV deal has shrunk to like $1 million per year for the
entire
conference.
Something like all schools are getting like under 200,000 or something like that.
$500,000.
Yeah, because I mean, to me, the whole thing strikes me as kind of the next logical step from what the, you know, the Pac-12 network did when they set up their network for like the individual schools. Because I was just, you know, I had to look up how many subscribers Hulu has at the moment. And I mean, maybe 12 million people doesn't sound like much, but I mean, if you go to 12 million current subscribers. And
that's
say,
more than the Pac-12 network has. They have 11 million.
Yeah, and they're paying for like exactly what they want. You know what I mean? Like these are monthly subscribers paying. I think I pay like, you know, $8.99 a month. So if you go, if you get, you know, maybe 10% of that that is interested, you know, and add a base of like 10%, that's like an extra million subscribers paying, you know, $8-$9 a month.
$10 million a month.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's a, you know, that's a start perhaps.
And Netflix, if you go, the closest thing they have is that new show by Chelsea Handler. It goes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So it's not live, but it's same day tape. That's the closest thing they have to something live. But also Netflix, like we're getting real deep here, but they're worldwide. They're basically in nearly every country. And if it's on Netflix, they're not going to do stupid geo blocking or work with, well, I would hope they would not, because if it's a Netflix show, you can watch it if you're in England, Indian, if you're in Russia or whatever, South America. But if I want to watch, I remember when Breaking Bad was on, I used to have a VPN that worked great. You could watch Breaking Bad on Netflix on the UK because of the different deals. If they're, if I don't know if they'd put in the deal, if the, I'm pretty sure the packed TV networks say they say Conference USA, I'm going to go with Netflix. I'm pretty sure Netflix would, in Conference USA would want, yes, have it available to anybody worldwide. So if I have a, if you have a UTEP alumni living in Sydney, Australia, he could watch his UTEP basketball and football, however many games are on there. And that could be, that is a very creative way to make up money they're missing, because that's kind of what Campus Insider does right now. They just don't have these big conferences. Their biggest conference is what, the Mountain West and the West Coast Conference and Ivy League, some CUSA games. But if you're on, I don't know how much money would come to the leagues, but if you're on a streaming platform, it could be done well. That money, I don't know how much you get from it, but a lot more eyeballs could be coming toward watching your sport. And that's, like I said, a creative way. Try to, you have to convince them to do live sports, but that's a, an outlet where there's 7 billion people in the world. Netflix has, what, 200 million worldwide subscribers, I believe. That's a lot of people there.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. Where do we go next? We exhausted everything.
We've gone into much deeper conversation than. That I think we original.
But it's true. But the thing is, like, if you, like you said, if USA is losing money, why don't they, like you brought up the great idea, Chris, the Mountain Network failed, but the Big Ten Network took the failures from that to make it better. They had more resources, but I don't know, you could start your own streaming service. You could, but if you could, YouTube streams live games, so instead of Netflix or Hulu. See, YouTube streams the Olympics, you know what I mean? They put it on there, NBC does. Go to Major League Baseball Advanced Media. They are the premier streaming service for HBO, Center Ice, obviously MLB TV. People, Apple, I think, wants to get in that business with them as well. It's just a way. If you, it's the money. It's the separation is going to happen regardless. You just got to shrink the gap between who you're competing with.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
All right, so let's wrap this up here. Should we go over the rankings really quick? Is that, we got a few minutes to do that so we don't go too far past one sure. hour?
Sure.
Sure. Okay, that was it. Bill Connolly, our friendly stat nerd, finished with his halfway done essentially for the 128 team countdown, ranked all 63 teams not in a power conference, and. In the top five, you have, and even though San Diego State fans have already crying on our comments, Boise State's number two, San Diego State's number four. Is there any argument between either of you that that's correct or not correct? Matt, go ahead, I guess. Start with you.
I think that sounds about right. I think you and I discussed this a little bit last week when I told you that I disagreed with you that new, or when we were talking about the USA Today article about San Diego State being the kind of the preeminent, New Year's Eve bowl contender. It's not to say that they aren't in the discussion. So I think, you know, Bill C's ranking, putting them at number four is probably about where I would put them personally.
I just mean like with also within a Boise State.
Yeah. I mean, I think personally Boise State's a better fifth.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Boise State should be ahead of San Diego State, because if I had to choose someone to win the conference right now, it would be Boise State.
Hot take.
All right, Chris, can you put away your bias aside?
Well, I think anybody in that top four, BYU, Houston, Boise State, San Diego State, can all be interchangeable, which is it's hard for me to say. I think Tom Herman, Houston had a good year last year, but if I'm looking at Houston's football schedule right now, let's pull it up real quick.
Well, they got Oklahoma and Louisville right in the season. They have those two teams right there.
You know,
it's quite difficult.
I mean, Oklahoma's that very first game. I don't see that as a win, but if they win, they're going to automatically become the front runner. And they could slip up just like how they slipped up last year versus UConn. So I could see at least two losses on the Houston schedule. BYU, on the other hand, well, you know, I hate to say they really don't matter, but they really don't matter. They've listed themselves as independent. They have to be ranked high enough in order to make something of themselves. And guess what? They've got to square off the Arizona, Utah, UCLA, West Virginia. I mean,
Utah State's your eighth toughest team, yeah, that schedule's very difficult.
I mean, exactly. And you're throwing in Michigan State, Mississippi State, Boise State. I mean, you could see this BYU team easily go 6-6.
They'll be getting to a bowl game will be a challenge. I see Chris is going a different direction here, going schedule wise. If they win this game, they're ranked
here. I'm looking at it from the potential of who's going to get that Power Five slot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Houston could slip up and be fine, but San Diego State, their schedule, Cal's down. They don't have Jared Goff. They have a new OC. They're coming to San Diego State this year. They do go to South Alabama. So, no disrespect to the Jaguars, or Aztecs, but you got to beat the Jaguars.
Right. You got Cal. Home, so. You've got Northern Illinois, which is always kind of like debatable on how good or bad they usually are. And then let's look at. I mean, we're going to start a Mountain West preview soon. But they should be able to beat UNLV. They should be able to beat Fresno State and San Jose State. But these teams have been recruiting well as of late. Let's see what the young guys can do. The schedule sets up that San Diego State has the easiest, quote unquote, easiest chance to go completely undefeated this year.
Yeah, they miss Boise, Utah State.
No, they don't miss Utah
State. No, not Utah State. They miss Boise, Colorado State, and Air Force.
But I believe Boise gets three again. Washington State at home. And they play at Oregon State. So, who would you rather play this upcoming season in terms of strength of schedule? You want to play the Dread Pirate Leech, or do you want to, play Cal and the Bear Raid?
They're about the same. Washington State's better, I think.
So, I think if Boise State has a chance to go undefeated, and plus you're playing BYU.
What do you got, Matt?
I was just going to say, you know, you guys were talking about Cal versus Washington State. Personally, I think Cal is probably a better matchup this year.
Well, I don't think they're as good, though. They lose the number one pick in the NFL draft. No, but Matt's right.
They're a better matchup against San Diego State.
Oh, I see. You mean winnable-wise for the Aztecs, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I thought you meant the other way around. They're a better team than Washington State. Okay. Disregard. It can go either way. The reason Boise State's higher, because we know Bill C does numbers. This is not his statistical S&P rating. This is him just like us banter. Okay, I think this seems good because of the A, B, or C. Not because they average this on first down. Their average scoring potential on this yard line is X, or their strength of schedule says this. This is him saying, I think they're the best team because. And BYU could go 6-6 and still be a top 10 team in this grouping. But Boise State, they're there because they have the name brand. It's like the reason Oklahoma's ranked high, Alabama, Texas gets ranked or gets considered because they're the name. I would go with Aztecs. They've won 10 in a row. They'll have the best defense back, the best player most likely, the best special teams. I still want to see their quarterback get better. He's better than Maxwell Smith. I don't care what anybody says. I'm never getting off that. He's going to be Christian. Christian Chapman will be better than Maxwell Smith for sure. And Boise State, they lost, four guys to NFL draft on the defensive side of the ball. Boise State's offense, I think, will be the best in the conference. But their defense, new coordinators, there's some issues. But after that, here's how it goes. I think Bills is kind of rolling the dice on the rest of these teams on some of them. Air Force conference title contender, maybe. They bring, we don't need to go through all these, but Air Force is next at 17. And then here's where it gets kind of interesting. You got Utah State 24, CSU 26. Again, these are all mountain teams. So for those who thinking we hate the, it's not just us who likes the mountain division better, folks. And then you got New Mexico, Nevada, San Jose State, and then, hey, at least Fresno State's not last, Matt, right?
Yeah. Top two thirds.
39. They're at the halfway mark. That's right. Right in the middle, pretty much, right? They're 63 teams, so close enough. And Hawaii's at 62. Not Eastern Michigan. That's their motto. Not the Eagles. I don't know. I just think this only list comes down to comparing or arguing or back and forthing about Boise and San Diego State. So
okay, well,
I want that to be a title game. That's all I want. I want them both to be undefeated and be the Mountain West title game. That would be my ultimate wish.
Okay, so.
And it's possible.
There is one thing I want to ask you two about, though. Because there's that group of three teams, like, right at the very middle of the list, at 31, 32, and 33. You got New Mexico, Nevada, San Jose State. So is that trio in the correct order?
No.
What do you think, Chris? You're not going with Football Bob?
I'm going with Football Bob.
But they're San number Jose one State in that list. Number three in
that list. They go number two.
Yeah. So you don't like. So you're telling everybody you hate James
Butler? I'm telling everybody. Nevada got away with getting to a bowl game last year. Recruiting wise, they didn't do too high on the recruiting wise.
Are we actually sure that Nevada went to a bowl game last year because nobody watched it?
Excuse me. It was on the American Sports Network channel.
And they won that game too. That's the funniest part.
I would go Nevada because New Mexico lost Juro Presley, which is a big deal.
No.
All right, stop your laughing. let's wrap this up. I would go Nevada, New Mexico, San Jose State, because I think James Butler is going to be the breakout player of the conference. Probably be the number three running back. Or, well, no. You got Brian Hill, Donald Pumphrey, Jeremy McNichols. James Butler will be in that conversation. And Nevada, if you looked at their spring game, yeah, they lose Nick Rolovich as their OC. They're moving away from the pistol, but running a whole lot more. Percentage-wise, spring game, it's hard to tell, but I think they did, 60 or 74 plays were rushing. And then I'd go to New Mexico because you still have the Football Bob. You got Lamar Jordan at QB. You still have the good running attack. San Jose State lost Tyler Irvin, who's making a huge impression in the NFL at the Texans already. Kenny Potter's pretty good, but I would go Nevada, New Mexico, San Jose State.
See, I think for me, I would probably agree with Chris, and I would swap San Jose State and Nevada. No disrespect to the Wolfpack, but you mentioned him. I think personally, Kenny Potter is going to be a really interesting player to watch this year. Because now, like you said, Tyler Irvin is gone. He's going to have to take a step forward for them to be able to contend in the division and to be able to get back to a bowl game. I still put New Mexico at the top of the list just because I feel like if their defense can take even this, if their defense can go from like bad to slightly below average.
That's what me and Chris said all of last year, I think. If they're okay, they could be a really good team.
Yeah. If they get to just a little bit below average, like right now, even despite losing, the star players and stuff like that.
Don't they still have Dakota Cox back, right?
They've got like five guys to replace Jarrell Presley. Like that's a team that, if everything clicks, could contend for the division title again. But I think that the error bars for the Lobos are higher and lower than they are for the other two teams.
Interesting. We'll get to all this stuff because we all need to go through the rest of these games, but we'll go week by week. And that is interesting grouping how we had there. And it's all three of us were different. So That's what we'll make when we do these preview shows next week. I think this year, me and Chris need to keep track of this stuff. Right, Chris? Or write down records we think of or something? not just you, but I mean, especially with it being the three of us, we should, when we talk about Air Force, all right, here's their record, and we put it in the show notes and everything so we can come back and laugh at how wrong we are.
Show notes.
I don't know. I think we should put that together to prepare. At least in the article when we publish.
I think Google Forms works.
We'll figure something out. Yeah, we'll do that as well. But I mean, within the article, hey, here's our New Mexico preview. Chris says they're 2-10. I say they're 10-2. Matt says they're 4-8 or something. You know what I mean? We'll have that in there.
Does
that
mean you're just officially introducing Matt as like our third co-host?
We already did. You weren't here last week.
Like, yeah. Like permanent. Like, all three of us are doing this together.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we meant. Yeah, I meant to last week. So I guess we should reset the. But you already knew about it. And look, I forget about it sometimes. I know. No, I forget your schedule. You told me like three times when we talked on the phone, so I can't really talk about that too much. Yes, Matt's joining us every week now. Well, as long as you're available every week, I should say that. But it'll be the three of us going forward. So because, like I said, we try to watch a lot of these games. I can't watch every game when there's three games on. It's 8:30 Mountain Time all at the same time. That's nearly impossible to watch all three games. So we'll have more eyeballs to watch all these games. And yeah, so it's going to be a trio going forward. So, Chris, we need a new theme song. When can that be done?
After we sign off, I shall introduce you guys to the stylings. I'll show you.
Excellent. So that's our show for tonight. I hope you enjoyed this 70 minutes of audio gold, I'm hoping, or maybe silver. I don't know. You decide. But check us out, mwcconnection.com. Sorry. I'm keeping that in. I'm not removing that. mwcconnection.com. We're on SoundCloud. We're on Google Music Play, so you can download to your Android phone now. Stitcher, SoundCloud, our RSS feed on our website. So go there and subscribe. Leave us a review, like I said, 5 stars, but tell us if we're good or not good. And tell your friends if you like what we're talking about. Not many people talk about this, and I think we got the market cornered, but I want to corner it even more. So we'll see you guys next week when we start our team previews for 2016. Adios.